This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest. I lost my mind again, out where the river swelled with rain. But she kindly took me in, made me feel I was not the one to blame. As change was blowing in the trees, the unknown shaking at my knees. Her voice places me at ease, and I'm home again.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it from the beautiful cozy confines of Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where I have been out with the full band at the front, fighting the battle, keeping it all going, man. And now I am back with the news, reporting to you, the fan, the listener, someone who wants to be enlightened, in the know, listening to this show, holding on for that weekly broadcast to come to you from wherever you are. Unlike some radio show that, hey, I slept a little late, I missed the morning show, or I didn't see the news last night, I missed it. This show always goes on p2podcast.com, where you can go back freely and just listen to it or download it. Take it on your airplane trip on the iPod. You know, I get emails from people all over the country going, hey, man, it was great catching up, you know, on all the podcasts. Like an old friend, Phil is always there. Says, you know, someone will say, man, I haven't heard a show in a long time, but I had a four-hour flight to L.A., so, man, I downloaded like four or five podcasts and just sat there, eased back in my chair on the flight, and just let P2 tell me what was going on in his life and hence the music world at large. You hear what I'm talking about, everybody? Man, oh man, it's all we're trying to do. Broadcast to you, let you in on what is going on. How about our old friend Blue Marshall JW last week? Bass player of the full band dropping by to offer, you know, these guys, the band, Stu and Blue, listen to the podcast. Their friends listen to the podcast. They're constantly being sucked into conversations, being confronted by you fans out there in the grocery store. Say, hey, man, Stu, man, Phil was talking about this on the show. What are you talking about? Stu's always like, man, I don't know what he's talking about. I haven't listened to any shows or something. But they do listen. Stu and Blue are always keeping up, always listening. We've been trying to get Stu Wiley, drummer for the full band, of course, the big bearded drummer himself, trying to get him on the podcast. He refuses. He refuses to be interviewed. He thinks it lessens his image of, in some way. I kind of concur with him on that. You know, I mean, if you look back on online, you try to find interviews with anybody from like Bob Dylan to Robert Earl Keane. They're very, very rare. You don't see a lot of it. Not a lot of interviews of guys like that. It just makes it all the more interesting, you know, all the more appealing when you do get their thoughts on something. Stu is that way. Very mysterious. Will not grant an interview. He's not seeking attention or press. He just wants to smoke cigarettes, play the drums, and just repeatedly kick ass out there for you, the fan, and sing that Elton John song occasionally. Always brings a tear to my eye. Stu and Blue. Well, guess we got a treat for you here, because Blue Marshall will be returning, JW, this week to continue a conversation. Man, we got cut off last week talking about gigs that almost didn't happen. God, I could write a book on that, about a 850-page novel on just disasters and near-averted disasters. Thank goodness they're more near-averted. You know, I guess any band could. But, you know, these bands with their buses and all this stuff, and, you know, highly, highly run outfits, I think, wouldn't have as many close calls as a band like ours, who's you know, for the most part, you know, driving themselves, hauling their own gear, etc. you know, running. You know, we all got families, we all got other jobs, etc. All coming together for that gig, man. You got to have good weather. You got to have your car work. A lot of stuff needs to happen. So we're going to share with you, let you in on a couple stories when things almost didn't happen for the full band. So stay tuned for that in our second segment. And then in our third segment, we're going to go somewhere I've dared not go yet in the vault. A sacred place with a sacred record. But man, shrouded in controversy, I say, this artist. Maybe not on the surface. Maybe not on the surface. That's our old friend, Bruce Springsteen. You know of whom I speak, right? Born in the USA, you know that guy. Of course you know Springsteen, Phil. Well, you may think you know Springsteen, but if you've never heard his album Nebraska, you don't really know Springsteen. If all you got's the greatest hits and Born in the USA and Born to Run, you're missing it out, and you're missing out the whole deal. And man, it's perplexing, because he makes this album Nebraska. He records the demos on a Porta studio, like a cassette tape multitrack. Like a tape. He records this thing, takes it to the E Street Band. They record all the songs, get ready to release it. He just goes, nah, I'm just putting out the tapes. Talk about a guy after my own heart. My question is, where was it after that and before that? Of course, he's one of the great live guys ever. But we're going to explore Nebraska, a dark, lonely, oh man, it just you got to put a coat on listening to that album. Nebraska, that's going to be in the vault. One of the great albums. Man, maybe one of my favorite albums of all time. Definitely in the top, you know, top 50, you know. Definitely Nebraska, Springsteen. Before Kurt South says, he started, you know, going to the gym and, you know, putting on spray tan. I don't know. That's what Kurt South would say. Always tough on old Bruce. So, that look forward to that. Blue and Springsteen coming up on the show. Well, if that isn't enough reason to tune in, then I don't know what is. Well, man, in this first segment, someone wrote me an email the other day. Jen, J-E-N, listening to us up there in Lawrence, Kansas. Boy, there are fans everywhere. Asking what was on tap for P2 and the full band in the year 2011. Kind of got me to thinking. Yeah, I don't know. I'm always just booking shows, taking it as it comes. A couple ideas here. I'm going to throw a couple ideas at you, and I want your feedback. Instantly and thoroughly, phil@philpritchett.com. Get your typewriters ready. Jot down some ideas. Of course, we got new material. Always got tons of songs. I'll just let you in on what's happening. Of course, we're going to make a new Phil Pritchett and the Full Band album. A lot of songs for that. I need to find the time to go back here and really start putting them down. Oh, a couple things crossed my mind. Let me know. Let me tell you what. I'm not going to ever ask anyone's advice on what kind of song I should write or how I should record something. That's my deal. Hands off, I say. Don't tell me what to do, because I'm not going to listen anyway. But here's some other things that occur to me. And I can't believe this is going to come out of my mouth right now, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know I love vinyl records. Hey, and I know most of you fans out there, especially you younger guys in the digital world, Texas music, you probably don't have a turntable and stuff. But me and all the audiophile dudes, we love vinyl. Dude, my ego is proposing that I put out this next record on vinyl. Now, here's the catch. I don't know if anyone's going to be interested in that. Although I did talk to Robert Earl Keen's front office. They put out the Rose Hotel, their last record on vinyl, and sold pretty well. I don't know, a few hundred copies or something like that. I'm talking a very limited run. I'd make like 50 or 100, something like that. I'd have to sell them though. You got to sell them for a lot more. So it'd be like a $40 package or something. Vinyl album. Probably go ahead and have like a CD, an actual CD in there. But I don't want to make a record that's just a sleeve. You know, I want to make something that opens up. That opens up, you know, the gatefold, like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, you know, or something like that. That's always been the hang-up because it's so expensive to print these things. You got to pay a lot of money just to get the plates made to make the impression for each side of the disc. Oh, there's little EQ and mastering things you got to consider for vinyl and all this kind of stuff. But I've got a lot of that, of course, at my fingertips here in the studio. So it's just kind of an adventure. I've gotten a little... it's cool to record music, as we always talk about. You record music, you put it on the internet, man, just let people download it and pay you whatever on iTunes. And that's all great. But man, I kind of miss the days of making a thing, a something, something with artwork and stuff like that. This is probably financial suicide and stuff like that. I can hear Kevin Haggard down there in Houston right now, the patron saint of the full band. He kind of helps us with all these sort of matters, all these matters of management, commerce, and things. I can hear him groaning right now all the way down there in Houston, just going, oh, God, not this again. Not the vinyl record argument again. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I'm right there with him. But I don't know, man. I make these albums, and I never see them. You know, we press a few CDs and little sleeves, and they go out there to you guys. I never see them. My only when someone says, man, where's your new record? I got to go online and point it to them, unless I got a disc rolling around on my desk or something. Oh, here it is. I'm thinking, man, you know, at least I could put it in a frame or something like we would in the old days. But I don't want to make a CD. That's no big deal. So thinking about maybe vinyl. So let me know if you just say, hey, Phil, I'm not interested in vinyl. But shoot me, man, $40 for a big old vinyl package, you know, lyrics, photos, poster, man, whatever, autographed and delivered to your door, $40. Tell me, Phil Pritchett and the Full Band on vinyl. Because, man, let me tell you what, these new songs and things we got going on, I'm so pumped about and excited about. I can't bear the thought of just sort of letting them go out there floating around online, and that's all it is. Oh, yeah, listen, I streamed it online, whatever. Just at least give some of you hardcore fans out there the ability to say, maybe you listen to it online, maybe you download it on iTunes, but let me tell you what, brother, I paid the $40. I ponied up, and I got the vinyl record. And you know what? I went out and bought a turntable just for that album so I could listen to it. Or maybe I don't even have a turntable, but it's up on my shelf, you know? Yeah, I listen to it on my iPod, but I have the vinyl record. It's right over there. It's a conversation piece. People walk in the room. Pritchett's on vinyl? You got to be kidding me. How did he do it? That's what I want. Just a little intrigue, a little something to set us apart, to get a little attention. This is what I think about. This is why I go around in circles on vinyl. Oh, I've been researching it. Let me know what you think. Thoughts on vinyl. So the new record, maybe on vinyl, maybe not. We don't know. Here's another thought that's been floating out there. Give me your thoughts on this. I want to take the show to the fans, you out there. I know it's a struggle to go to these clubs sometimes. We're playing at midnight. It's $10 to park. It's $10 to get in. Blah, 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 blah. It's hard to get a babysitter. Garbage. I'm looking for 1 month out there in 2011. I don't know what month it's going to be. And like I say, this is just my thought process. Give me your feedback, though, if you want it to happen. We're maybe thinking about making a month in 2011 private party April or whatever month. Private party April. Every date for sale. Every date for sale for $500. $500. I show up if it's, you know, you're cooking your wife dinner. Yeah, Phil, we want you to play in the kitchen. Fine, $500. You get a 90-minute set. That's it. I bring speakers. I just come in. I play a show. I don't care if it's for 1,000 people or for 2 people. That's it, man. And every date is for sale, evenly so. Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Who knows? And you just do whatever you guys tell me to do. In the state of Texas now. I don't know if I can go to up there for Jen in Lawrence, Kansas for $500. Sorry, Jen. Got any friends in Texas? You can come down here. But then think about this now. You kind of think, oh, well, I don't know. Think of the events you have in your life in a year. So, we always have a little crawfish boil. We have people over, you know, once a year. We have someone's birthday or we have, you know, we always like to do something. She's like, hey, man, Phil's doing this thing. I don't know what month it's going to be in. I was thinking like April or May or something like that. And you just say, hey, okay, yeah, we want to sign up for one of these. $500, whatever. And Phil will show up and play for 90 minutes. Hang out, you know, whatever. Sign copies of my new vinyl record release. Huh? Wouldn't that be fun? So think about that. Private party month. No other shows. If you're like, oh, Phil's not even playing anywhere. He's not playing anywhere that whole month. That's because it's private party April. So you gotta call and book, man. I don't know, man. Hopefully I'll get down to where all I got left, like some Mondays and Tuesdays. But you go, man, me and the guys are going to get together. Everybody throw in, you know, $20, $50, something like that. Phil's going to come play. It's going to be great. Think about it. Let me know. Phil at philpritchett.com. So that's something else I'm chewing on. Chewing on that. Oh, man. Also, we've got our old friend. Well, he's been on here. Chance Ryan Brentham, right? Making the movie about Clint Rippey. He's kind of wrapping up. Y'all heard the podcast several weeks ago. Talking about the progress of that film, coming along very well. And anyway, he's always talking about having me do a little music for him or something. I'm dying to see more footage on this thing. You know, I've only seen kind of what's in the trailer and some stuff like that. But Who knows, man? He's always coming at me. Hey, man, let's create this kind of music for this. So I've got a lot of little pieces of music that might end up in that film. Be very, very cool. In other film news, a friend of mine from high school's got that film in Corpus Christi that he's working on. It's a documentary about a football team down there. Actually, it's about old guys going back to their high school reunion, I think, 20-year reunion, and they challenge the current football team to a game. So it's this funny documentary. There's a I've seen a trailer on that as well. That's also, I wonder if that's a burgeoning market out there. I hope it is, man. All you out there, listen up. All you filmmakers out there, film is going to be just like music. It's always a little bit behind. Remember we had the CDs for a long time before we had the DVDs? We had VHS tapes for a long time, even after there were CDs. It seems like the DVD business is still pretty good, you know, Netflix, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to drop away like music. Just like music recording got cheaper, shooting movies is going to get cheaper. And you'll be able to distribute it probably on iTunes, Netflix, just like you do it, movies. So I would be intrigued and happy to write the score for your film. If you're like, hey, man, we're doing a low budget, no, whatever it is, student film, or hey, this thing about Texas, it's about these kids down here, we shot it, but you don't want to license all the music. Man, how do you get the rights to all these songs? Garbage. Phil at philpritchett.com. Say, Phil, which of your songs could you maybe contribute or write or come up with just musical pieces for it? Because, man, I think more people are going to be making movies here in the next several years. And by God, I want to be making some music for that, man. That'd be so fun. I love films. I love when I can contribute music with a purpose in mind. Does that make any sense? You know, hey, man, there's a scene in the movie, or this is the credits, or this is the opening sequence. What do we got, man? You know, maybe redo one of my songs or write something new. Whatever. There's no rules. So let me know. Well, that's a little look at what's on tap for 2011. We're going to have Blue Marshall, JW of the full band, coming in here. Stay tuned. Next.
I was cold. I was lost from everything. But she kindly took my hand and said, follow the weeks. They'll always lead you to spring. And though I'll always lose my way, stuck out in some lonesome winter's day, her light carries me.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from the cozy confines of Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, enlightening your musical life, folks, bringing you all the best in news of the world, music, technology, business, everything, what we musicians do, struggle with, all look through our own skewed view, our own shaded piece of glass, a musician out there, sharing it all with you here on the podcast. Thanks for hanging out today, folks. Phil with you. Well, as promised, returning this week to us. We've heard him scurrying around out here in the galley area, the kitchen, seeing what we had to drink or eat out there, rummaging through some drawers and things. He is now in here in the studio. JW Blue Marshall, bass player for the full band, is here.
Back again. I wasn't going to come back. Well, I tell myself every time I'm not going to come back.
That's right. You just go, man, never again. Never again.
The topic was too good.
The topic was too good. Well, you led into that last week.
That's why.
I don't know how we got off on the Josh Owen gig. That was pretty funny. So Blue was like, man, there's a whole bunch of gigs that almost never happened. Gigs that almost didn't happen. Well, that was certainly one, I guess you could say in some ways.
It didn't happen for you. But yeah.
It was had to pull it off kind of thing.
Right.
But another good one last week. You said, oh man, right after we finished, you said, oh well, that the other big obvious one, what was that?
Probably the biggest one was probably the one of the trips to Kansas. Oh. Heading up to was it Lawrence or was it?
We were playing in Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, that's right.
Oh, well, that was that early on in y'all's tenure?
That was a year or two in.
A couple years into it. Boy, let me tell you what. Let me just say that I live in Fort Worth, Texas, and grew up in Dallas. Blue, you live in Dallas.
Oh yeah.
I feel quite comfortable going when I look at the weekend, and we got to go south from Fort Worth south on 35.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to Waco, Austin, San Antonio, Corpus, that's the way you're going to go. Always a sense of foreboding there.
Right.
a little bit because of the traffic and stuff. But you got the check stop waiting for you down there.
Love the
in
check
West.
Stop.
You've got, you know, the greatness.
All the bands out there listening.
Oh, the greatness of Austin. You know, I'm always like, well, traffic will be kind of a crapshoot.
Right.
Once we hit Hillsboro and head out, we'll kind of see. So you gauge that a little bit.
Right.
Even more interesting is going east from Fort Worth. Oh, man, you got to go through Dallas, through the Fair Park region, heading to East Texas. Always a little trepidation there.
Right.
The easiest is going west, 20 west from Fort Worth. There's nothing there.
Autopilot.
Boom. You just got the cruise control set at 53. The band always makes fun about how slow I drive. But we've made it to all the gigs. That's my one defense.
Never been pulled over.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Really?
As long as I've been a part of the full band.
Oh, man. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. But, yeah, west is easy. And I look forward to it.
Right.
Man, going north from Dallas-Fort Worth. And I don't know if it's just the impending crossing into Oklahoma. Not that I have anything against Oklahoma. But it's, man, the traffic from 35 on 35 from DFW to, like, Oklahoma City. Man, we went up there to play those Norman gigs. Remember just the traffic?
Oh, yeah.
Around Denton and the airport and the racetrack up there. And on the weekends, man, you never know what you're in for, dude.
A lot of people go to Lake Texoma.
Crazy.
A lot of people go back and forth.
Yeah, it is just like, dude, you don't know. You never know.
I never know how to
gauge the traffic.
Right.
So it's under this scenario that we go play. We're going to go play with Roger Kreger in Manhattan, Kansas.
Right.
And then we're going on to Effingham, or are we just going to...
We're heading somewhere after
Chicago,
that.
Chicago, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. Actually, what it was is we were going to go up there and then drive all the way back down to Corpus.
Oh, come on.
From Kansas to Corpus.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yep.
No.
I think so.
No. Well, we did. I had the same rent car in Corpus.
Yep.
Or it was in Port Aransas.
Port Aransas.
During that hurricane down there. Remember that?
Yep.
Oh, God. What a disaster. What a disaster.
Another one.
Another.
Due to weather, that one didn't almost happen.
See, here's the problem. Here's the problem when you sit down, when band guys sit down together. You never sit there and genuflect on the great shows. Just another night at the surf club or the firehouse where everything worked and was great. And a lot of people there, great.
Those come and go,
whatever.
The tough ones stay with you.
The ones you almost didn't make. So that's what happened in this case. We got into Oklahoma.
Right.
Ardmore, Oklahoma. Van, there's a fuel pump, dude. Just goes down. Done. Finished. Call the tow truck, AAA. The guy comes, but it's not a standard tow truck. It's one of these things where they jack the entire van, like, up over the cab of the truck.
And onto the bed.
It had kind of an extended bed. Y'all were way up in the air. So there's only one seat in the front seat of this tow truck.
Right. And Pritchett,
so the guy goes, who's with me here? And I'm like, I'll get with you. So Stu and Blue have to scale the outside of this tow truck up onto the bed, then up into our van, which is loosely strapped to this thing. And the first thing the guy does once you start moving is he just cuts through the grass median.
Through the median, just down
so
into
the,
a ravine.
The top heavy thing. And full of gear.
Full of gear,
a van top heavy, full of gear, full of Stu and Blue. Y'all about, 20 feet in the air, just swaying, bouncing. And so we drive into the thing. I'm just making small talk with the tow truck driver. What am I going to do? I'm like, yeah, man, you get a lot of business. Oh, well, it's a living. So we pull into this car dealership. We're going to rent a car and get the van fixed, hopefully. And Stu and Blue climb out of this van. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, they looked like they were on the edge of death.
Just pale face.
They had looked death square in the eye.
We had both.
They had made a deal.
Called our mothers.
Yeah, they both admitted later.
Left voicemails.
They both admitted later.
We don't make it.
To like holding hands. They just
we
held
did
each,
not hold hands.
They held each other's hands. They were sobbing, and they just called their mothers to tell them they loved them. Wobbling atop. They're like, how did I get here? It's all going to end here in Oklahoma. Ardmore, Oklahoma. Oh, that almost didn't happen. And that was, you know what? I remember when we were having trouble getting the rent car.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of had a team huddle.
I said, man. Do we make it? Do we not make
it? Well, we were just opening for Kreger. It wasn't a huge deal, but I just go, man, we could just not do it. I mean, just say, look, man, we had car trouble. The van's gone. We have no gear. But sure enough, what does Pritchett do? I'm so hard-headed. I can't miss a gig. So I text Manny, Kreger's the podcast owner, Manny Morales.
Right.
Who runs road manages front of house for Kreger. I said, man, Clee, use your drum set and your bass rig. Like, oh, yeah, 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 we're already here. So we get in a little Mimi, you know, a little Yoda or something.
Get the essentials, a couple guitars.
A couple guitars.
A bass, no amps, no drums.
And some clothes, and we take off. And we made it.
We just barely get there. No sound check.
No sound check.
Throw our stuff up there and play the gig.
Longhorn Saloon.
Right.
Up there in Manhattan, Kansas. Good place. Your dollar goes a long way in Manhattan, Kansas.
That's right.
What's the name of that place we ate? Like the Tiki Hut or something?
Something like that. Just all you can eat.
All the best Chinese $7. And Mexican food or something.
That's right.
For like $6.
Buffet,
bucks.
Just whatever you want.
So that was one, man. That was a out-of-state show that almost did not happen.
And
for
I'm
sure.
pretty sure we drove that rental all the way down to Corpus.
How could we make it, though, dude? Well, I guess we could. It'd be just like 15, 16
I think we
kind
of came back into Dallas, slept for a few hours, and then made the rest of the deal.
That's right. Well, another Corpus gig we struggled to make. This was also on the gigs that almost did not come off list. This one pretty recent.
Last year.
Not the last Flatland Jam, but the Flatland Jam in Effingham, Illinois, the year before.
With the great Pat Green and
with our old friend Pat Green.
Old Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan. I didn't talk to Luke Bryan that night. I don't know. I'm sure he's doing well.
Boland was at that one as well.
Jason Boland was there.
A couple other bands.
Yeah. So we flew to
St. Louis
the night before.
Right.
That's right. So we flew to that one. So we flew
shared
there.
Shared gear with Bacon Fat for the
shared
show.
Shared gear with the great Bacon Fat. Oh, man, I played mics. I played like that 69 SG.
Oh.
Your dad has.
Sounded good.
And like a 7, and like Mike's 65 Pro Reverb Blackface. Oh my God, I was in tone heaven all night, folks. The Midwest got a little more Pritchett guitar solos than they bargained for that night as I was just thrashing around. Had a great show.
Right.
Watched Pat play, and then we had to get to Corpus Christi for a gig
the next
afternoon.
That's right, it was Bayfest.
It was like at 4 in the afternoon
was
or 5
Bayfest?
In the afternoon. It was Bayfest.
On Bayfest, a Sunday
Corpus
afternoon
Christi.
Or something, yeah,
yeah, we played Saturday night. I remember when we booked, it was one of these deals where Whitney Roberts, your friend, was booking us at the time.
Right.
So she booked Bayfest. Great gig to play down there on the water in Corpus Christi. Sunday afternoon, we weren't going to
like
have another
five
gig.
O'clock gig or something.
Like 5 months in advance. And so I say, oh, yeah, awesome, great. So we book that. We get a deposit. That's the big telltale is you get half the money up front. You already got it somewhere.
You're committed.
You're committed to it. So lo and behold, your brother, great brother Levi Marshall, promoting the Flatland Jam. Well, several months later, you know, still several months in advance, he says, hey, man, we're doing the Flatland Jam. Great. We got Pat Green. Great. We got Boland. Oh, it's going to be awesome. When is it?
What's the date?
Gives me that Saturday before Corpus. I'm just like, oh, man.
How are we going to do this?
And you, me, and Stu had like
another huddle.
So, man, is it physically possible for us to
drive
get from Effingham? When's the last cymbals? When's the last cymbal of Maria die out or whatever song we're playing last in Effingham? And then we jump in a car and we drive to St. Louis. Can we make it to Corpus Christi? That was the question.
Right.
And everything had to go right. I mean, right.
Oh, yeah.
For us to be rolling in at like 4 o'clock for a 4:30 set.
Right.
Wouldn't it something like that?
Right.
Oh. And I remember everybody just going, dude, you're going to have to cancel one of these gigs. But they were both good paying
Good shows.
And I said, we're gonna make it.
We're gonna take a chance.
We're gonna make it.
I like it.
And so that's what we did. So we finished that show with Pat. We watched Pat play. We didn't have to leave.
Stay for a couple hours because the plane didn't leave till like 7, maybe 8 a.m. something like that.
Was it?
We got there about 5-6 in the morning.
Yeah. So we got to the airport at 5-6 in the morning. Bev drove us. Your mom.
Right.
Good grief. What was she doing up late at night?
Just taking.
She's a warrior, dude. Your mother.
Just a roadie.
Golly. I mean, it's an hour from Effingham to St. Louis. St. Louis is the next.
Hour and a half. Yeah.
Hour and a half. That's the next biggest airport.
It's 4 in the morning when we leave.
Bev got her hotel room there, I think.
I think so.
I said, Bev, get your hotel room. So we get into the airport. Fun was had by all there because we were tired. Here comes Pat Green.
Little did we know, we probably could have just got on the bus with Pat.
Yeah, I know. No kidding, dude. No kidding. Why don't we
hung out
of that?
In the booth? We didn't know they were flying out that early either.
No. Remember, we were supposed to have some limo guy. We had some hookup.
That's
the dude
right.
Dude never showed up.
That's right. I wish I could remember his name so we could publicly
Pat,
address him.
I texted Pat. Someone goes,
and
hey,
they already left. Or,
We got you a limo from
because they
the
knew the
gig.
Deal. They were trying to accommodate for us.
We got you a limo from the Pat show
right.
to the airport.
Right.
So y'all can just relax.
Sleep,
have a drink, just ride onto the airport.
Too
awesome.
Good to be true.
So we're waiting around with Bev at 3 in the morning.
No limo.
No limo. The guy's like, man, I can't make it or something. So Bev, that's when she just sucked it up and took us there herself.
Yep.
But I was texting Pat. I was hoping maybe he was behind us. I said, hey, we'll just get on the side of the road and get on your bus. But he never texted me back. That really upset me. Like, oh, I didn't have
so
a phone
we pull
with
in,
me.
They're
I'm
all
like,
sleeping
sure
in the airport. Yeah.
Yeah, so we get there, and there's Pat and all his guys in lounge drinking Starbucks. That's when I had my first cup of
Terabay,
coffee.
All those
I wasn't
going
to sleep at all. I was like, man, I might as well get me some coffee. Get it going. So we get on the plane. We fly to Dallas with Pat.
Pat pulls the upgrade.
Yeah, Pat pulls the upgrade. I'm moving to first class. See you guys later. He's got his own bunk up there or something with a down comforter. Yeah, I'm back there in coach.
Pod.
I'm back there in coach with the band, with the crew, like a chump. No, no, not at all. So we fly in there. We get into DFW at like 6 or 7 in the morning or something like that.
7 or 8.
And then Stu's wife is going to go. He's got some deal worked out.
They're picking us up or
I'm
something.
Like, what? He goes, yeah. Haley comes, Stu's wife. So they take their own car, remember?
That's right.
And I was worried about him. I go, dude, Stu's not going to be able to stay awake, for the next 6-7 hours to get down there.
And again, we didn't have a van, We ended up in
later.
Two small cars, I think, too, with all the gear, half and half or something.
Did we take the Jeep?
The Jeep, yeah.
So you and me getting the Jeep. Yeah, you were doing like your fantasy football draft or something crazy?
From the Jeep, yes.
Something. Anyway.
Always
was that
hooked
it?
Up.
I
always hooked up to technology.
So we drive like hell, just trying to get
down hours.
There. And so we roll into Bayfest, dude, at like 4:15. We're on at 4:40 or something.
Right.
Roll in, and it was that same, we all look at each other and smile moment as we kind of walked onto the stage. The sun was getting low in the sky, and there's some people out there. We walked on, played a great show, and the best part of that day, what was it? The best part of that day.
The Beatles tribute band on before us.
No. Accommodations that night.
That's right. That is the...
They said, as I'm sitting there exhausted... I play a show. It's 112 degrees down there or something. And I'm just like, what a day, man. I mean, I was like, were we in Illinois?
This morning?
I mean, I'm just, my head's spinning. I've driven like crazy. I've been on planes. I've been supposed to be in a limo and a bus. Never were. Automobile, plane, car. And now I'm on the stage. They're like, hey, y'all staying here tonight? I said, well, yeah. They go, oh, okay, good, because we got y'all hotels.
Right.
Which usually means like one room when we all just sort of
cram in there,
They said, well, so we get to there. They said, where are we staying? In Super 8 or something? They're like, no, you're at the Omni, the downtown Corpus Omni. I'm like, dude, all
right.
So we go down to the Omni Hotel, a really nice hotel there in Corpus. You know, four and a half
separate
stars.
King rooms.
Three rooms. King rooms. Dude,
never
I go
slept
up there.
So well.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And after the gig, I mean, it's like 8 o'clock when we get to the hotel. I think
we all just
went to bed.
We ate they had some food there. We just kind of ate. I got up there to my room, my own room at the Omni, overlooking the ocean. Just sat out on the balcony, just looking at the Gulf of Mexico, you know, the Corpus Christi Bay there. The breeze in my face, just exhausted, just took a nice shower in the five-star accommodations there. Crawled into my king-size bed. Surrounded myself with like 10 pillows and just went into a sleep that I have not yet experienced since. Did you have the same feeling getting in the room?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think
that
Stu
was an unexpected.
I think
bonus.
Stu and I might have still went out that night. I don't remember.
Did y'all? We're going to hit the surf club.
We'll be back. Go to Mulligan's.
I think y'all did go to Mulligan's, didn't you? Probably
I think
still
we ended
the great
up
Mulligan's down there. But we pulled it off, man.
We
I remember just
it.
laying in that bed, just going like, I can't believe I'm here right now. I'm just. In a comfortable bed in Corpus. We've played two shows. And, pulled it off.
And none of the fans would have had any idea.
No, well,
so,
you know, we're just...
Next time you go
we'll
to a
there.
Show, to whatever band...
Oh, there's a whole story of how it happened.
There's a story behind it.
There's a whole story as to how it happened.
That didn't just happen.
No.
Something went wrong.
Oh, man, those are a couple big ones. Shows that did not happen. And there's been innumerable shows that just... Yeah, the van broke down at Waco. We go to rent a car Enterprise. We get throw some stuff in there, abandon it on the side of the road, have it towed, pull it off. We never turn around. I'm always amazed by bands that like the opening
don't
band.
Make
how
it.
Many gigs we play with an opening well, band doesn't show? They go, well, they had their car didn't start. I'm like, I start laughing. I'm like, big deal. What? car's not going to start, you know.
Our good
one out of 50 starts, one out of 100 starts on an old car.
The slow rolling lows almost didn't make one, or did they miss that one?
They missed that firehouse one. Yeah, I think they missed it.
They were in traffic for just
they got in a wreck behind a wreck or something. I'm just kind of like, dude, come on. They're like, oh well,
you got to get the iPhone. Well, alternative routes.
That's right. Oh, you got to be prepared.
Got to fight
for it. It's tough
They'll
to make
learn.
Those gigs.
They'll learn.
They're doing good. They're good boys out there. Well. You're listening to the Pete Sue Podcast. I am so grateful to our bass player of the full band, Blue Marshall, for stopping by here. You'd think it'd be easy to get Blue on the show. Like, oh, he's in Phil's band. He plays the bass, man. He's always just, you know, in the closet.
Hanging around, yeah.
Not the case. Always
got a lot
his own
going
life.
On.
Work, golf, entrepreneurship, charity work, whatever. He's always doing it out there. Well, Blue has been there talking about gigs that almost were not. Thank you, Blue. Well, it's that time of the show for me to blindfold myself, spin around three times, and stagger over to the rack of vinyl records here at Trinidad World Recording. Reach out blindly, grab one, and then tell you, the fan, if it's something you need to have in your collection or something to throw away in utter disgust. The vault next.
Saw her standing on her front lawn, just a twirling her baton. Me and her went for rides in tennis and people died. From the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, with a sawed-off 410 on my lap, through the badlands of Wyoming, I killed everything in my path. Can't say that I'm sorry for the things that we've done, at least for a little while, sir. Me and her, we had us some fun. Now the jury brought in guilty verdict, and the judge sentenced me to death. Midnight in prison storeroom, leather straps across my chest. Sheriff, when the man pulls that switch, sir, and snaps my poor head back.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the Pete Sue Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Come record here at the studio, folks. 817-733-5256, like my good friend Brian Hunt. Brian Saxon, the guys, also came in. Seth Jones, Brian Joyner. Got several Brians. Several. I never thought of it like that. Zach Huckabee, Mike Mathis, Kurt South. Oh, I don't know. I could go on for days and days. But, man, rest assured we've enjoyed recording them all. So give me a call, man, or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Say, hey, man. This is what we're trying to do. This many songs. We're going to do them like this. Whatever. I'll help you do it. It'd be fun. Well, we got Nebraska here. Springsteen in the Vault, one of the all-time acclaimed records, something that all musicians aspire to, Springsteen. We're hard on old Springsteen on this show, aren't we? Remember Kurt South talking about he was, you know, what'd he say? He's got an orange spray tan and, you know, waxing his arms now or something like that. He liked him when he was skinny and hairy and had, you know, kind of acne scars. Springsteen, that's the guy we love. Well, man, he gets into that mode for, I think this is his sixth studio album, Nebraska. Man, this was recorded. These are the actual demos he recorded on a Porta studio, like an old, like, you know, cassette multi-track, like four-track on a cassette tape. This album was recorded on a cassette tape, man. I love it. He records these songs. Famously, on his Porta studio, he does a couple little extra tracks. You know, there's like him singing a couple different parts on some of these songs and different guitars. He layers a couple things. But then he took it to the E Street Band. They record this whole album, all the Nebraska songs. They recorded the full band. And Springsteen and his manager, John Landau, famous manager, former Rolling Stone writer, they just say, man, you know, we think we want to just release the actual demos of Nebraska to the populace. So they scrap all of the E Street Band session. This whole album they recorded of Nebraska. I don't know if the album was going to be called Nebraska, but they recorded all these songs in a full band setting, complete with Clarence Clemons sax solos and gang piano or something. I don't know, it's hard to imagine some of these songs with all that stuff going on. They've certainly rearranged a lot of them for their current tours and you know, going out and playing at night. So the songs have developed live, but man, this is the form they started in, and this is how we love them, Nebraska. This is one of the most well-known ones off this record. Me and the band used to do a rockin' version of this way back before. I've heard several bands do it since, but... We weren't the first either, but Texas music bands, I've heard several bands do it. Great song, Atlantic City. This is the original here, man. Bruce.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Well, I got a job and tried to put my money away, but I got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. Now, baby, everything dies, maybe that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, put your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. It's getting cold, and maybe everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. I've been looking for a job, but it's hard to find. down here. It's just winners and losers, and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Well, I'm tired of coming out on this losing end. So, honey, last night I met this guy, and I'm gonna do a little favor for him. Well, I guess everything dies, maybe that's a bet. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Just raise your hair up and nice, please let her up pretty.
You know, I see Springsteen these days running around on stage or sliding on his knees at the Super Bowl. I just think, gosh, it's going to be tough on this guy. He's just going to get old, man. You know, he's not going to be able to do all this stuff. He probably shouldn't be doing it right now. I mean, he still looks great. He sounds great, but, oh, man. Listening to Nebraska, I hearken back to that lonely songwriter somewhere. Speaking from the darkest part of his soul. That's what we love. Bruce, come on. Loving Nebraska here, listening to it. This was the first, man, you know what? This is the only Springsteen record I really ever listened to, and constantly revisit and listen to. I don't know if that makes me wrong. I don't know if that makes me a Springsteen fan or not. I've always said he's one of the greatest live performers I've ever seen. I've seen him live like three times. He's fantastic. But do I go back and listen to Born in the USA and Born to Run and stuff? I'm like, dude, never. But do I listen to Nebraska? Absolutely, man. I gotta put it on here, some of these tracks occasionally. The darkness, that enveloping criminal loneliness that just carries this album along is just so intoxicating. Well, Johnny 99 got in trouble, didn't he? Down there waving the gun around in the middle of the street. Oh, man. The city supplied a public defender, but the judge was mean, John Brown. Johnny 99, look out.
Was holding my mortgage, taking my house away.
Johnny 99, Bruce, man. Man, there was a big problem with the mastering of this record. A lot of y'all, what's mastering, man? Well, he recorded it on that Porta Studio. When you started playing that Porta Studio tracks back, it was so quiet. It was very, very quiet. It wasn't very loud. So they had to, make it a little bit louder so that you could hear it, you know, on cassette and on vinyl and everything they were putting it out on. But they had, Dolby noise reduction had kicked in and was around. So they used some noise reduction techniques to master this record, or really may have never gotten heard had it been made, maybe 5 years prior. You wouldn't have been able to release these demos probably on vinyl and stuff like that. It just would have been too quiet, too crappy sounding. But it's still plenty crappy for guys like me who like that kind of stuff. Nebraska Springsteen recorded in his house, lonely, dark, ditching the E Street Band, putting out the demos, man. Hey, man, Blueprint Garage, that's what we do. You can get all Blueprint Garage, all Pritchett Records for just $4 at p2tunes.com. Oh, that is our show for this week. Thanks to Blue, J.W. Marshall, bass player for the full band, for dropping by again this week, talking some fun stuff with us, letting us, delve and chew on his perspectives, shedding the light on us. We hope we have enlightened your musical life here for this week, folks. Phil Pritchett here. We'll see you next week, everybody. Be good to each other out there. Much tougher.
My name is Joe Roberts. I work for the state. I'm a sergeant out of Burnville, barracks number 8. I always done an honest job, as honest as I could. I got a brother named Frankie. Frankie ain't no good. Now ever since we was young kids, it's been the same come down. I get a call on the short way, Frankie's in trouble downtown. Well, if it was any other man, I'd put him straight away. But when it's your brother, sometimes you look the other way. Yeah, me and Frankie laughing and drinking, nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Maria as a band played Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he streams like any brother would. Man turns his back on his family, well, he just ain't no good. Well, Frankie went in the army back in 1965. I got a farm to firm, settled down to Maria for my wife. But then wheat prices kept on dropping, till it was like we were getting robbed. Frankie came home in 68, and me, I took his job. Yeah, we're laughing and drinking, nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Maria as the band played Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he's straight, teach him how to walk that line. Man turned his back on his family, he ain't no friend of mine. Well, the night was like any other, but I got a call about 8:45. There was trouble in a root house out on the Michigan line. There was a kid lying on the floor looking bad, bleeding hard from his head. There's a girl crying at a table, and it was Frankie said. Well, I went out and I jumped in my car. Then I hit the lights. Well, I must have done 110 through Michigan County that night. It was out at the crossroads, down round Willow Bank. Seen a Buick with a high place behind the wheel was Frank. Well, I chased him through them county roads to a sign said Canadian border 5 miles from you. I pulled over the side of the highway and watched his taillights disappear. Me and Frankie laughing and drinking. Nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Marie as the band plays Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he streams like any brother would. Man turns his back on his family, but he just ain't no good.